Many patients on Medicaid have both physical and mental illness, but finding appropriate help for both body and mind can be difficult. Even more difficult can be finding doctors. Hawaii has a doctor shortage for well over a decade, and many don't take Medicaid patients. For the past year, some psychiatrists in Hawaii have been working to mitigate that situation using a model called collaborative care. They say it saves money and improves outcomes. In January, Medicare began to cover collaborative care. Psychiatrist Jeffrey Akaka is spearheading the effort to have it also covered for Medicaid patients. Dr. Jeffrey Akaka joins us now. Good to see you again.
Oh, aloha. Good to be back.
For people who understand the idea that, well, you know, body and mind, this is all packed together. We don't bifurcate ourselves. But in terms of how people seek out psychiatric help, that can very often be very much the number two priority, if at all, for people who are able to see doctors, let alone for people who are on Medicaid and may not be able to find one. How does collaborative care begin to address the finding a doctor part of all of this?
Well, first of all, when you have a problem that's causing you stress, you can get help from a lot of different places, you know, from friends, family, counselor, your spiritual leader. When it gets into the medical realm, when you have a disease that's causing you to have stress, like schizophrenia or depression, then you want to see somebody who's medically trained to do that, nurses, physicians. And it turns out that most primary care practices see most people who have mental health problems that venture into the medical disorder category who may need medication.
What I hear you saying is that that's sort of the first line of contact, and you'd like that to be the only line of contact, at least for the vast majority of people, and to bring the help to them.
Well, I don't want it to be the only line of contact. It's the one that's the most used. Patients are familiar with the family doc. A lot of family docs, most family docs are very familiar with dealing with depression, anxiety, and most prescriptions for those conditions are written by family physicians, so they're already quite familiar. Sometimes, though, when the disease gets bad, real bad, then it helps to have somebody back you up. The same as if you have a complicated hypertension problem, the family doc might want to have an endocrinologist, you know, backing them up. Or if you have a heart problem that gets complicated, the family doc would want to have a cardiologist backing them up.
But you probably wouldn't do, though, is with some people say, well, go see this one or go see that one, because you know that, you know, as my grandmother once said, you know, between cup and lip, there is a slip, and you could not necessarily see those people wind up in the cardiologist's office or in the psychiatrist's office.
Exactly. And that's where collaborative care comes in. Instead of the family physician, if they see somebody who's depressed and say, hey, Joe, you look kind of depressed. Here, I'm going to write down this prescription for you to go see somebody across town. Go see him. We know that that doesn't really work efficiently. We know that half the people who get a referral to a psychiatrist never go. And of the ones who do go, they go maybe once or twice, and then they never go back. So their mental health condition doesn't really get treated, even though they have a referral.
So with collaborative care, this seems to make the primary care doc the hub.
Yeah. Instead of sending the patient across town, where they got to tell their painful story all over again to a stranger, and hunt around for parking and all of that, they can stay in the family physician's office where they're already comfortable. They know all the staff. They've been there for years. They don't have to tell their story again. And they can see somebody there in that office instead of seeing a psychiatrist somewhere else. The beauty of this is that a lot of mental health information that's needed doesn't require a psychiatrist to collect. You can collect a lot of that data from somebody who's not a psychiatrist. So 45 minutes worth of data collection, whether it's the medication they're on, the hospitalizations they've had for their heart disease or diabetes, what they're allergic to, all of that information can be collected by someone in the family physician's office. And then once every week or 2 weeks, that person could then relay all of that data to a remotely located psychiatrist. So the psychiatrist isn't in the office. The patient is in the family physician's office, but not the psychiatrist. And we found the data is so good showing that this works that you can have a psychiatrist through these 5 or 10 minute reports from what's called the care manager in the family physician's office. They can see up to 20 or oversee the care of up to 20 patients in a morning instead of the 3 or 4 that we've traditionally taken care of.
Skeptics may be thinking, well, but if a psychiatrist isn't actually seeing the patients, will there be some nuances that won't be immediately apparent to someone who is a case manager who's collecting this information? Or if they're not there with you, might there be something that you would notice that's not even a nuance, but something that you're trained to notice that a care manager might not be?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It's not the same. But what we have found is that through this very specific kind of care, if you implement all of the things that the research shows works, including keeping track of the data, you know, keeping track of what their depression scale is, keeping track of what their anxiety scale is, keeping track of their cholesterol. If you're giving the wrong medication, the cholesterol could go up. Keeping track of their blood pressures. When the care manager collects all of that data on a regular basis at every visit and presents that to the psychiatrist, then the psychiatrist can make medication adjustment recommendations with all of that data. And the research has shown over 80 studies that not only is the depression and anxiety better, twice as good, but the medical problems, the high blood pressure gets better, the diabetes gets better, because you've got regular contact with the care manager.
Which is a very different thing than just simply going into a psychiatrist's office and being on a couch for an hour.
Exactly.
So in bringing this to Hawaii and having it covered under Medicaid, which is what you'd like to have happen, in the same way that it's covered for Medicare since January, what are the next phases of this? What has to happen?
What has to happen is that the legislature has to approve it, but also Hawaii needs to get something called an 1115 waiver from the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services in Washington, D.C. Hawaii has to apply to be able to do this because you're using Medicaid money, which is governed by the federal people.
Well, I want to thank you for all the time today. We'll be watching this and see if it comes through the way you'd like to see it happen. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Dr. Jeffrey Akaka is a member of the Hawaii Psychiatric Medical Association Task Force on Improving Access to Psychiatric Care Through Collaborative Care.